This episode is sponsored by Malibu. There's many lessons to be learned here on The Fundamental Guide to Life, but one lesson I've learned is that there's nothing better than listening to your favorite podcast while sipping on your favorite cocky tea. What do you know? I'm sipping on my favorite Malibu cocktail whilst recording your new favorite podcast, The Fundamental Guide to Life. So if you want to join me in a Gorgina cocky tea every week, check out at Malibu Rum UK on Instagram for gorgy recipes and lots of other fun stuff. Let the fun shine this winter with Hunsnet and Malibu. Over 18s only. Welcome, Dally Wallies, and do I have a treat for you to blow away the January cobwebs. It takes 17 muscles to cry, and my huns, you'll be exercising those muscles cry laughing with my guests, the Scummy Mummies, aka Ellie and Helen, comedians, podcast hosts, authors, they do it all. Welcome to the Fundamental Guide to Life, the Scummy Mummies.
Hello!
We are very pleased to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Happy New Year. How's January treating you, girlies?
Oh, pretty good, actually. We're kicking back into it all. We had a bit of time off. We did a big lot of shows in December. Yep. We're on tour. Hit the booze pretty hard, didn't we, Ellie? I think we had about one day off the booze, and that's probably because we were passed out. And then now we're trying to be a little bit good in January, which is very boring, isn't it? But yes, we're pretty good.
You say you've been keeping off the booze. Is this a dry January or is it a dryish?
No. Let's not go nuts. It's
mildly moist.
I like to say it's a moist January. It's a moist January. Yeah. It's trying to stay dry, but it's wearing a tenner lady. That's where we are. It's a tenner lady January. I need the men's one. Do you know they do men's tenner ladies, Gareth?
They?
Obviously, they're not called tenner ladies. They're called tenner men. But we gave some to a guest on our Christmas podcast, a male guest, as a lovely Christmas gift, because I didn't know they did them. And I think it's a marvellous thing. And then we had a long chat about dribbling. But again, I probably don't need to tell you about that. So,
well, what is the crux of a male tenner lady? Do they just arrange the tip of it so it doesn't go down and keep it up? I don't know.
I think it cups that area.
So it
has a sticky back plastic that attaches itself to your underwear, so it just catches the dribble, so you don't get that unsightly little wet patch at the front if you've had a little leak.
And I think they might be a manly colour, like I think they might be a charcoal, but it's possible I've made that up or
charcoal.
Imagined that. I can't remember.
Do you know what? Actually, I noticed something. I was reading something on Twitter, because that's where everything goes on, as you know. And isn't it crazy when they want to make something manly, they do it. It's just, I remember back in the day, in fact, it was probably about 10 years ago. Do you remember the YSL Touche Éclat, the highlighter? They wanted to get this into the male market, and they just did the same product but made it charcoal grey.
Did you buy it though?
I did, yeah.
Of course you did, exactly. There you
go. Can you not see? Right, I've got a confession, girlies. I'm not a mummy, but I am a honey, and today I am a scummy honey because you'll see a poorly watered plant strategically placed behind me there. And the reason why it's strategically placed behind me is because my Christmas tree is still up in the corner over there. So does that warrant me a scummy honey?
Oh, you're going to hell for that. That's unacceptable. Where are we? What, Easter is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's definitely scummy, isn't it, Helen?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. If it's past about the 5th of December, then you're letting yourself down. But I thought you'd put the tree up to cover up your washing. I thought that was covering up your laundry, which I have several plants on my kitchen table, which are kind of like a hedge. So I've got some plants that one side is all the shit that my kids put on the table, and the other side is clean. So I think plants are a great way just hide the sins, really, aren't they?
Well, this morning I got back from my holiday, because the reason why it's still up is because I went on holiday just after Christmas. I got back this morning, and you know, there was that thing, it was like, oh, should I take the tree down? Should I take the tree down? Didn't want to take the tree down. Too pissed to take the tree down. So the tree is still there. And then this morning, just as we were start doing the first recording, I was like, shit, you can see the tree. So that's why behind me there is that rubbish plant.
But now you've told everyone about it, that's ruining your own subterfuge. I'm struggling to follow the logic, but bless you for sharing.
I'm on self-destruct mode. Right, okay. So for the listeners of the Fundamental Guide to Life, I wanted you two on because you embody the whole, you know, you do you, hun. You do you, and I think that you do that amazingly well across all of your channels, podcasts, and your books. So for anybody who doesn't know who the Scummy Mummies are, tell us about you and tell them all about your thing.
Where do we start? So we're a bunch of 40-year-old slags who like... wearing clothes that are too tight for us, and with tarts for attention, and we've made money out of it. Yes.
Technically, we're a comedy double act. I like to say we're a multimedia node because we have the podcast. We've got a podcast. We've got the Instagram, of course.
Yeah.
And we've got a moderately selling book, and we've got a live comedy show that we tour all over the UK.
So when you're on tour, as you said, you've recently been on tour. Are you getting driven or are you driving? Have you got a driver yet?
I mean, technically we do, but it's either Ellie's dad or my brother. we pay moderately well.
Yes.
And what tunes have you got on in the car as you're going round? What's on your playlist?
Do you know, we don't have a lot. There's a lot of discrepancy in musical tastes. My father is 74. He's of a different generation. So we mainly have chat. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. It used to be just my dad and then a bloke called Steve. And now I like having Helen's brother on board because it makes me feel like Madonna. Because have you read her brother's book? About when he used to go on tour with her. Yes.
Is she speaking to him at the moment?
Not last I heard, but who knows? Because of the lamps, remember Lampgate. But the last I heard was he before she went on stage, he would have to cup his hands so she could spit her Ricola pastel into his hands. And I've tried to get John to take this on for us, and he's refusing. I think we're going to have to dock his wages, to be quite honest.
Yeah, he's not pulling his weight at all. No, but we got into, especially in the lead up to the Steps concert, we played a lot of Steps, so we were ready for the Steps concert, and we got into the old Magic FM as well.
We did play John a lot of Steps. We made John listen to a lot of Steps, didn't we? And he was less enamoured than me, which was disappointing.
Let's talk about Steps, because we were at the Steps concert the same night. Wasn't it just amazing?
I cried. I cheered. I was stood two people away from Claire Sweeney, which was also a life highlight. I mean, it was what a day. What a night. What a night.
I like the bit, Ellie, when we were so pissed and they served these bottles of wine. Did you see them?
Yeah.
They were long and skinny. Thin, and plastic, right? And so Ellie thought it would be hilarious. I got my wine. She ripped my top forward and then put the wine between my tits, and which it fell down and then splashed at my feet.
She's lost a lot of weight, you know.
She's just covered in wine at the Steps concert. I mean, there is nothing more hun than that. Did you notice, actually, if anyone from the O2 Arena is here, I would really like to know their policy about the wine, because they would not give you the screw top, would they?
No, and this was the era when Ellie shoved a bottle of wine down my tits that it splashed on my fucking feet.
I don't know. I just, honestly, I think while Sophie Ellis Bextor was on, I was sat there wondering, why do they not give you the screw top? Well, if anybody's got the answer to that, I need to know. I must admit, we went two nights on the trot. The second night, we actually bought a screw top. We bought our own.
See, that's what I love. That's what I love about Steps. That's grown-up behaviour at a Steps concert. That's you know, because I genuinely have loved Steps my whole life, since 25 years, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And often people think that's ironic or it's a joke, and it's absolutely not. I love the music. I love the costumes. I love the dances. I love all of it. And yes, I know all the words to the song. Claire Sweeney was like, you know all the words and all the dances. And I was like, why don't you traitor? Some of us have been studying for this moment for years.
You've taken someone's ticket for this.
I didn't say that to her, and I wouldn't say that to her. She's very nice, just to be clear.
Yeah. One thing I love about your merch is I would say your merch is very huntastic. Okay. Now, for the listeners, I'm going to just give you some of the thing. We've got, I'm talking gin and on it, good yawning, and my personal seasonal favourite, Jingal All The Way, on some of your merch. So, do you have a Hun motto that you incorporate into your life? You know, something like, you know, my glass is always half full of wine or things like that. Do you live by any Hun mottos?
We always say, before we go out on stage, tits and teeth.
Tits
that is
teeth.
Out. So it's sort of like tits out, teeth out kind of thing. Yeah. So that kind of comes to mind, because that's what we always say to each other before we go on stage. Do you think we've got any other ones, Ellie?
There is, you wear a bum bag. We say that to each other quite a lot. because many years ago, I can't remember, we were talking about bum bags or something. I can't remember why. And Helen said something like, yeah, well, you could wear a bum bag. And I went, you wear a bum bag. And then it became an insult that's carried on. So that's
you
nice.
Wear a bum bag. You wear a bum bag. You all get a bum bag.
Exactly.
Have you ever had, in any of your like home decor, have you ever had any like decals on the wall giving you inspiration? Yeah, have you seen like people have like these decals on the wall with all of like, especially like some in a Disney font to give them that bit of inspiration as they're cooking.
Oh, like some inspirational word art, like live, life, love, and all that, whatever yeah. it is. Yeah. Oh my God. I've got a little bit of word art now, which I'm kind of, but it's all sort of like the music sounds better with you, which is just, you know, stupid lyrics and things like that, which I'm slightly embarrassed to say. But we actually did a joke. One of the sketches we did in our comedy show a couple of years ago was fucking word art. Like, you know, yep. what is this trend? Yep. And so we said we'd make our own word art for our husband and as a special gift for St. Valentine's Day. You know, it's so hard to buy for. And then we'd pull up these frame pictures and says, put your fucking shoes away or take the fucking bins out or I'm leaving you. That kind of thing, which I think could take on, to be honest.
I think so. Do you know what? I have a strong opinion on fonts and the use of fonts. Mm. So when people use the Disney font who are not Disney, I could never be more offended by that.
That's the worst problem in the world today. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah,
let's talk about the real issues. You're quite right.
Yeah. And also the use of Comic Sans outside a year seven classroom is a crime.
No, even year seven, I think they're beyond it. I think we should just leave. Let's leave Comic Sans in 2001. That would be my preference.
Yeah. We said it's January. It's the middle of January. We are balls deep in January. Did you set yourselves any resolutions, any New Year's resolutions? Or are you like, nah, New Year, same old me?
Well, I've had the same New Year's resolution for about 25 years, funny enough. And it is to be friends with Steps. That's been my dream since I was 19. And this year, I believe this is the year I'm finally going to make it happen, Gareth. This year, they're going to return my letters.
How are you going to infiltrate the circle of Steps?
We're going to ask them on our podcast. That we found that's a very good way to get at celebrities without them realising you are, in fact, a weird stalker.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be continuing. It turns out waiting outside their hotel room or their house doesn't work, I discovered after about 20 years. Yes, that's my resolute hun. Is to finally enmesh them in my web of love and friendship. That sounds very sinister. I don't
no,
mean
No, I like
that.
It. It's like a Bond villain. But I tell you what you could do as well. You could maybe make sure you learn all of the dances and all of the harmonies because...
Done that, mate. Done that. Done that years ago. Done it. Nailed it. Yeah, absolutely. Got a bloody GCSE in Steps, mate. It's no problem.
But you need to let them know because, it, you know, unfortunately, due to the coronavirus, that a few of them had to drop out everything. But you could have just slotted in all part.
I messaged Claire on Instagram and I said, I'm so sorry to hear that Lee is poorly, but I can do the rap from 5, 6, 7, 8. Just give me a wave when you want me. I'll shove Claire Sweeney to one side. Lisa and H can yank me up onto the stage and I'll perform. I'll perform and it'll be like he's in the room. That's what I said. She didn't reply. So actually she did.
More fool them. More fool their loss. Their loss.
Exactly.
Back in the day, did you ever do any fitness DVDs? You know, like every hun has had a fitness DVD because this is like a New Year's resolution, get fit. And then they always used to do the DVDs out on Boxing Day, you know, just to get everybody in the New Year thing. Talking like your Nat Cass's, your Tracy Shaw, Salsa yes. Size. What else was there? There was the Nadia from Big Brother one.
I had Hannah Waterman's fitness DVD because she was in EastEnders. I can't remember who she was in EastEnders. Ian Beale's wife or something,
yeah.
wasn't she?
Yeah.
So I had her DVD and I did it up until a few years ago, actually. It's really good. It's like a HIIT training DVD. She's really good in it. The bloke's quite fit. It's fine. You know, so I used to do it and I used to look at her and go, gosh, she looks amazing. I can't wait to look like Hannah Waterman. That's brilliant. And then I Googled it one day to see what she was eating as well to look like this. And it turns out that when she made that DVD, she didn't realise she had type 1 diabetes and a problem with the pancreas. And that was actually what had made her lose all of the weight. And not the diet or the fitness regime. So I'm not going to lie to you. I sort of, much as I adore Hannah Waterman to this day, I'm sure she's a lovely person. I did sort of lose my faith in the DVD at that moment, Gareth, to be honest.
Ellen, what about you?
Oh, well, I recently did the Divina, right? So we a few years back, because we're whores for attention, we actually went to like a launch of her DVD. So we had to wear the same clothes as her. Uh-huh. And then we did the actual workout with the actual Divina.
Was the workout for the DVD or was it for Ryvita? We did a thing with her. Wasn't it for
crackers? Oh, beg your pardon, it was for Ryvita and eating more fibre.
Should have spoke to bloody Hannah Waterman about that.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Yeah, so we had to do a workout next to Divina, which, you know, we were very, very good at, obviously. And then, oh, yeah. And at the end, she said, oh, here's one of my DVDs. And then I tried to get a second one. And Ellie was like, you're such a scab. Divina doesn't want to give you two of her DVDs. And it went weird.
She's not like... You're acting like she was like, you know, with this boot open in the pub car park. It was just like, this is not who Divina is.
Sorry, Divina.
Yes. But that was lovely. And then she was lovely. And then we all got changed in the communal changing room when I was moaning about my boobs and the state of them after breastfeeding two children. And she was like, oh, don't worry, mine are shit too. And she lifted up her T-shirt and we looked at each other's tits. So that, again, a life highlight, Gareth. What can I tell you?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, where do you go from, like, Divina getting a baps out for you in a changing room.
Getting
I love
the
vag
out, I was hoping God. For, but she kept her pants on. Very disappointing.
She's very good.
The thing is, though, is that it's always that friendship, you know, has got mileage in it, at least. You know, you've gone top off. You know, maybe when she does the new DVD, call the girls up.
Get the girls out.
A lot of Huns back in the day got a questionable tattoo when they were younger. Okay, and that is part of like Hun culture. Have you got any questionable tattoos? Have you had any questionable tattoos? Are you thinking of getting one?
I got two tattoos last year. Uh-huh. That's a hard thing to say. But they were more mainly kind of symbolic, you know, divorcey sort of thing. So I got one tattoo of a leaf that my son chose and the other tattoo of my age at the time, which was 42. And I got my kids to write it. But I do remember Ellie and I having this conversation and I got them to write. One wrote 40 and the other one wrote 2. And she said, I'd get them to do it again. I was like, oh, no, that'll do. And now it's on my arm forever. It's just kind of scrawly. It's fine.
She tried.
Yeah. And, but all of my friends in Australia, all of them got tramp stamps. Everyone was getting like Japanese symbols on the back of their bum and like a dolphin on their ankle. And I'm the daughter of a vicar. So I had that thing in my mum's head. It's like, oh, you can't get a tattoo. And so I was so jealous. All I wanted is some, you know, like yin yang symbol on my arm, that kind of stuff. So, but no, I didn't ink myself until I was an old lady.
Well, you talk about yin-yang symbol on the arm. I think I've gotten it out. I think I've got it out on the podcast in a previous episode and I have spoken about it, but I just need to do full disclosure that I do have said yin-yang symbol on arm underneath here. Do you know what? I've said this again and I'll say it again. The reason why I got it is because it's the same tattoo that Mel B's got on his stomach. So I feel a real affinity with Mel B.
Oh, I'm sure she does too. I'm sure she's very pleased to hear that.
Ellie, any questionable tattoos from you?
No tats. I do remember the thing of Chinese and Japanese calligraphy being a thing in the 90s. And I had many, many, I think, tops and sweaters from New Look and things that had like a Chinese symbol on, which I had no idea, obviously, what it meant. And I was reminded it was a thing the other day because my parents-in-law, they've just bought a house in Worthing. And this house obviously hasn't been done up for about 20, 30 years. And in one of the bedrooms, it's a lovely shade. All the fitted wardrobes are a lovely shade of brick red and magnolia. Stunning. If you can imagine that gorgeous combo. And then stenciled on all of them are these Chinese letters, like hand stenciled. I was like, wow, that was a moment in cultural history, wasn't it? Again, I blame steps, though, after the lover's gone. They fully embraced that look in that video, didn't they?
They did.
It's their fault.
My brain is more or less, you know, 75% of the week in like mid-noughties nostalgia. I was going through like old changing rooms before the new changing rooms came back on. And I was like, oh my God, you know, this is really, really of a time. And then when they brought new changing rooms back, it's basically old changing rooms, but in this thing. So it's just like, I think the first one I saw, they turned a living room into like some tropical oasis, you know, garden, which is just crazy. So yeah, thanks changing rooms.
No one wants to live in a lilt advert. Come on.
Is sponging still a thing? It was all sponging back then. It was sponge.
Magnolia, sponging, all of that crap. Oh, dado rails, they were a thing, weren't they?
Oh, God, help us.
Oh, dado rails and border, stripey on the bottom and then pattern on top. We've spoken a lot on the podcast with our previous guests on The Fundamental Guide to Life about noughties fashion and how unforgiving it is. So, you know, I'm talking like a dress or a skirt over jeans. Have we got any like noughties fashion disasters that are amazing that you want to confess?
So I wore a skirt over trousers. Uh-huh. And I went home to my dad, who has no airs and graces. Yeah. And when I walked in, he said, "Jesus, you look like the back end of a horse."
Nay.
Oh my God. And he wasn't wrong. Like there was that look of like the, you know, the back end anyway. But yeah, I remember it was all so bulky and like, and the trousers with all the tassely bits as well. I just didn't understand why that, you know, like the cargo trousers with all the fray bits and things like that. But my best outfit during that time was I handmade a lot of my clothes.
Oh, she's a crappy queen.
And I put a lot of faux fur on the you know, like the wide leg trouser. And I there was so, my there were my rave gear, you know, I'd go down and like put more fur muff on everything just to make it more raver. And the trousers were so wide that I tripped down the stairs of a nightclub because I just got caught up in my furry muffs on my feet. Oh, it was awful.
You know, when you came out of the nightclub, was the fur matted? I've just got this matted
Oh, that it absorbed, you know, like the brown scum at the bottom. It was either that or your mini backpack that kind of got the scum from the nightclub. Oh, it was awful. Absolutely awful.
We've spoken with some of our guests about denim from back in the day and about, do you remember like guys' denim particularly, and for everybody who's listened to previous episodes of the podcast, when it used to gather at the bottom, they'd have a work shoe and then it'd get wet and then it would fray. I mean, that is Hun to me. That is male Hun in its truest form. Do you know what I'm talking about?
One of my best friends, Jonathan, I met him on my very first day at university, English Literature Department, University of Sheffield. And there he was, a vision in double denim. He had the jeans and he had the Levi's, the jacket, and then he had a pair of yellow Timberlands. And do you know, it was years before we knew he was a homosexual. Absolutely unbelievable, but true.
Was that when you found Bewitched on his playlist and then you started questioning what it all became true?
Even when he told me he was a massive fan of Diana Ross and couldn't stop reading books about the Duchess of Windsor, I didn't gather. You just wouldn't have thought it, would you?
The signs were there. The signs were there. Mm. Now, we've spoken about nostalgia here. What we're doing on The Fundamental Guide to Life with all of our guests is we are asking our guests, you know, like all of these random things, you know, contribute to what we now call Hun culture, you know, the TV references, the fashions, the music, the quotes, you know, things like a Jane Norman bag from back in the day, the Frankies from the Saturday's Haircut, dead choppy Lords of Layers and that. We're asking our guests, now this could be absolutely anything that they would like to put on the timeline, on the evolution of Huns. And I'm going to give you both one each if you want, okay? And we're going to put it on the timeline and that is going to be forever set in stone on the timeline of the evolution of Huns. It can be absolutely anything you like.
I would like, I know we've mentioned it previously, I would like to put the clothing with the Chinese accents on the line, please. Because not only did I have this assortment, I've remembered now, this assortment of sweaters and t-shirts. I don't know why it became such a thing. I don't know why we suddenly became obsessed. But my favourite outfit of the 90s was, it was from New Look, of course. Jane Norman, we didn't have that kind of money.
No, it's just the bag.
Oh, well, yes, of course. Jeffrey Rogers, I always preferred anyway. But anyway, yes, so it had a mandarin, it was just plain black, this dress, but it had a mandarin collar and the little, like the Chinese, like cap sleeves, obviously. And then it was incredibly short, like as Jonathan would say, it barely covered my breakfast. You could see
the best part of the Coco Hernandez was on show. And not only was it incredibly short, but also it had, because that wasn't revealing enough, it had tiny slits at the sides as well. So it was tiny and short and very, very tight, very fitted, but I was very thin in those days, so it was fine. And I used to wear it with those, the transparent, the new tights, but the shiny ones, because we thought sparkly legs was sexy.
Sausage
we
legs.
We thought that's what people want. And then I would wear that with a pair of shoes from Barrett's that had very, very high heels and like chunky platform heels. And oh, what a look it was. And I used to wear it for PlayStation, which again, very 90s. I used to wear it for them in the 2000s. And I remember I wore it to the PlayStation Christmas party and pulled in it. Come on, got a boyfriend out of it, actually. But I was obviously, because I wasn't that cool. I was living with my mum and dad. And so I went home, I got home at like 4 a.m. and my mum came in the next day and I'd managed to get the Chinese dress off and I'd thrown it on the floor. But obviously the buckles on the platform shoes were a step too far. So she said, I was just in bed with the duvet pulled up and these little platform heels sticking out the end of the duvet. And frankly, it's a happy memory. So I'd like to put Chinese embellished clothes on the timeline, if that's all right.
Oriental embellished clothes is going to go on the timeline of the evolution of Hun. So, yeah, that is there. Helen?
Have tweezers made it yet? Because I want to do an ode to the eyebrows of that time where we used to pluck them until we were nearly bald, just so you had a faint line, and then you had to fill it in with a terrible brown pencil. So could we just put tweezers? Because that just feels like that is the look.
Well, yeah, I think tweezers are such an important, because they come back round, because eyebrows are a thing, aren't they? I mean, like, you were just talking, like, back in the day, it was Christina Aguilera, I think she was the one who had, do you remember when they literally looked like pieces of cotton? Eyebrows. And then, of course, you go, you know, 10 years forward, and then it's all about the scouse brow, you know, big, thick, chunky, squared off. So absolutely, tweezers are an essential item in the evolution of Huns, and it will go on the timeline.
And this is the thing, now it travels south, and now you're doing your fucking tash now, and your chin, and your nipples, and your toes, it all started up there, and now it's all heading south. It's terrible.
Well, being a young gay boy back in the day, I experimented with you know, eyebrow maintenance, and I think as I'm now in my 40th year, I'm now just going to just let it go. Just make sure that they just don't point up. So I just shave them down. I'm not going to go near a tweezers again, because
a natural shape is, my beautician would say, you want a natural shape.
Yes, I have a lady who does mine now. I have a lovely lady called Rabia. She comes around once a month and threads them and then colours them in. She's a former engineer from Pakistan. She's very nice.
Sorry, can I have one eyebrow confession?
Go on.
I was told that you should put clear mascara. This was a 90s thing, but clear mascara on your brows to kind of tame them, except I missed the clear bit and I was about to go out and I put black mascara on my eyebrows. Oh dear God.
That's up there with the night you dyed your hair blonde the night before we auditioned for BGT. That is bloody
self-sabotage. Oh my God. Yeah. So I decided to go blonde, but it just sort of went orange.
Yeah.
And I had to do some sort of crazy updo, and it had gone so dry it was like straw, so I had this sort of like this sort of awful orange blob at the back of my head. We were in the BGT audition, I think, for about 8 hours. We were just herded in, and you know, we had all that expectation, and we went past the choirs and the magicians, and there we were standing in cold cat suits at the O2 looking really sad,
and hair going drier and drier and drier as the hours go on.
Yes, like some kind of tumbleweed made of straw. It was awful.
You are scummy mummies. There are other scummy mummies out there, of course, and they love this sort of content, and they buy into your podcast and your book and everything. Who do you think out there could be a Hun scummy celebrity mummy? Do you know? Have you got any of those that come to mind?
I'm going to say Lorraine Kelly.
And in fact, I know she's a scummy mummy because Helen and I were lucky enough to meet her once. One year we did the, for Now TV, we did the red carpet interviews for the National Television Awards. So we're wearing the gold cat suits. It was January. It was freezing cold. Our earpieces went in the first 30 seconds. So we didn't know who half the people were. At one point I interviewed someone from Holby City's cousin. It was all a complete disaster. But one of the people, one of the marvellous people we interviewed was Lorraine Kelly. And I think I said to her something, you know, really grown up and sophisticated, like, so tell me, Lorraine, have you ever had poo on your hands? And she said, yes, of course I have. I'm a mummy. So she's definitely our people. She's definitely one of us.
So Lorraine Kelly is a secret scummy mummy. I love it. I love it.
Yes. But I would say secret, but proud of it, which I enjoy.
Proud of it. Yeah.
And also, I reckon Nigella. Nigella would be my pin-up girl for scummy mummy. I reckon she is top quality. You want to have the after party at Nigella's, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You want to have the fags out the window. you want to eat the entire contents of the fridge. You want to sauntering around in some sort of silky number. And yeah. I reckon Nigella's our peeps.
I reckon Nigella is one of those people where I look at the content that she puts out and she's very measured in some, and then she plays with you a little bit, you know, like the microwave thing and all of the little things. It's just so brilliant. I'm so here for Nigella and all of her content.
All day.
So we're asking all of our guests on The Fundamental Guide to Life about music and tracks that make them live, love, and laugh, because obviously live, love, laugh. It's a Hun quote. So we're going to be adding them as well to the Hunsnet playlist. We want to know which songs make you live, love, and laugh. So, Liv, let's think. You've got your best spangly cat suits on, your mega faux fur jacket, and you're strutting off to All Bar Hun with your girlies. What song is playing?
Because one of my, of that peak time is Ain't Nothing Gonna Break My Stride. That was my kind of like getting ready music. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Has that come up before? Is that a classic?
Who have we had recently? We had Gina G. Ooh-ha Just a Little Bit was a good one.
I think that was
the Footballer's Wise Lady had that. We've had Ride on Time by Black Box is another one. But yeah, I mean, this is the whole thing about Hun culture. You can do whatever you want. So we can add that to the playlist. Ellie?
Well, what night are we going out, Gareth? Is it a Friday night? Because especially if it's Friday
what night do you go out?
Friday night. So do you remember, do you watch X Factor?
Yes, of course.
Of course. Do you remember a few years ago, a bloke called Beck Martin? So Beck Martin, I think he's from, is he Dutch, Helen or something, or Croatian? I'm not sure. But he's not from the UK originally. But he performed this song called Friday Night, which made me, when I saw it, laugh so much, so much. It's brilliant. I won't spoil it. You have to Google it. Look for the clip. It's brilliant. The song is, but genuinely, the song is brilliant as well. The song, I think, really G's you up and gets you really excited and gets you ready for Friday night. And it's so good that I introduced it to Helen. And if we have a show on a Friday night, I insist that we play it in the dressing room before the show, because it gets me in the mood for a Friday night show. So this has been a tradition for years. And for my birthday last October, Helen found Beck Martin on the internet and she got him to record a special video message for me, wishing me a happy, and he even did a bit of the song, a version of Friday Night, especially for us. And honestly, I don't think I've ever received a greater gift. And she gave me a Burberry scarf for Christmas. So I would have that, please. It is on Spotify. And I know not everyone will have heard of it, but it's a brilliant Friday night tune.
Well, it's going to get the girlies G'd up. We will link it into our Spotify playlist and it will stay there and live there forever. So those were your live tracks. The next one is your love tracks, okay? So imagine the scene. You've got your Yankee Candle on, the lights are low, and you're three quarters away into a bottle of white Zinfandel with your significant other. What song is playing?
Well, I've been married to my significant other for over 10 years, and I've known him, I've been with him for even longer. So something that makes me think of him and our relationship, again, I'm going to go to Steps. I'm going to say After the Love Has Gone, or Tragedy, or perhaps 100 Years of Winter, something like from their more modern catalogue. I'd go for Love You More, which is one of their album tracks. Not everybody knows it, but it's probably my favourite Steps track, to be honest. And Claire's voice on it is astonishing. And they did it at the concert before. Do you remember they did the tour before this one? And I sobbed when they performed it live, because I just think it's wonderful.
isn't it? You can make the
you can never make me love you more. Yeah, again, I cried. My friends Jesse and Jonathan went to the bar, but I cried.
What did Claire Sweeney do? Was she at that one as well?
Well, no, she wasn't at that one, sadly. No. I think she'd heard they were going to play that song and she couldn't go because she couldn't take the emotion. She wasn't feeling emotionally strong enough that day.
Indeed. Helen.
Oh, it's got to be Eternal Flame. It's got to be Eternal Flame. That's like the classic kind of get you in the mood. It's all lovey-dovey. And I always think it's a good sign. Like I once was texting a guy I was seeing on Tinder and I was like, oh, I've just been belting out Eternal Flame. And he's like, that is such a tune. I was like, you can do anything to me tonight, sunshine. If you like Eternal Flame, all the holes, you know.
Drip candle wax on it, yeah.
The question I want to know, though, is it the Bangles version or the Atomic Kitten version, or either?
Oh, I'm going to go with Bangles.
No, neither. Neither. It's our version, surely, Helen. Oh, yes, so we do a version in our show called Maternal Flame, which is all about mum guilt and how, you know, how we always forgetting our children's names and looking at our phones. So I think that one.
Yes, we should record it separately. But yeah, no, I love. And it's just that, you know, when you're really pissed, like everyone, you think you're really in tune, but you're not. You fucking sound awful.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Talking about that, like when you go to a concert and you're like, we talk about the Sep concert again, and you've got your phone up and you're recording and you've got a nice close-up shot of them, but then you can hear yourself singing and then you can never upload it anywhere because you just sound like a dying coyote.
Oh my god, you sound like a cat in pain. Yeah, it's awful.
Fabulous. And finally, what song has you reaching for a tenor, lady, because it makes you laugh so much, or it reminds you of a time when you laugh so much?
Well, Helen and I both love the movie Spinal Tap. It's one of the first things that we bonded over, isn't it? We talked about it on our first date, didn't we, at some length. And I think I love all of the songs in that, but especially Give Me Some Money, that's a favorite. Or what's the one that's like, I'm gonna sink you with my
big
torpedo, big bottoms. You're gonna fit me like a flesh tuxedo. That makes me laugh a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to say that one too. I'm going to just jump on your coattails there because it is the funniest song. And I had a boyfriend once who was on university exchange in the 90s, and as a romantic gesture, he hand wrote the lyrics of Big Bottom on the back of a postcard and sent it to me.
Fabulous.
True love.
Nothing says love than a crumpled up postcard. Have you still got the postcard?
I'm sure I do somewhere. And do you know what I sent him again? Because we didn't have email back then. No. It was the 90s. I bought a full length piece of paper and painted my entire naked body blue and did a naked, this was before dick pics, people. And I did a naked, full body, naked print of me boobs and bush and rolled it up and sent it to Germany. I mean,
I wonder now, like on a trip to Germany in like 10 years time, you go in and it's in some like museum as modern art, artist unknown.
Yes, the finest example of Australian culture we have to date.
What an Australian bush. Yeah, exactly. Full bush back then. There's none of this Brazilian nonsense. No little landing strip. No. Full map of Tasmania. Yeah.
Thick it. Australasia.
Subcontinent, yes.
The southern equator.
The
hemisphere.
Great Australian
part. The universe. You, Huns, are big for pushing body positivity and have some of the most fabulous onstage catsuits mixed with some awesome boob jokes. You're good at giving out some life advice. Now, here on the Fundamental Guide to Life, we have a thing called the Egg Honey Aunt. Now, do you remember back in the day, growing up, the teenage magazines, More Magazine, Just 17, Bliss, all of those sorts of things. And do you remember they used to have some amazing problem pages? We have been revisiting some of those problem pages from back in the day. We put this out to our listeners to see what they would advise in this problem. So this was a genuine problem sent into Sugar Magazine. I don't have a best friend. I've made friends with girls from school, but no one that I would call my BFF. Loads of girls have necklaces for their best friend and photo booth pics, but I don't have that. What should I do and where am I going wrong? BFF plus Salisbury. What would we advise?
This breaks my heart, honestly, because I feel like I could have written this letter because that was me at school. I was always being excluded and I would say bullied. And this is the thing, when we were growing up, you sort of thought bullying was like what you saw on Grange Hill, people being, you know, put into bins or having asbestos thrown at them. But in actual fact, bullying, especially as I was in a girls' school, can be much more malicious and much more sort of subtle and less visible. And it was a lot of just not being in the gang and not having a best friend and all of that. And that made me very, very heartbroken. So, yes, I do feel this person's pain. And in terms of advice, I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because if I'd known what to do at the time, I would have done it. But I did change classes. That's a bit of practical advice. And that helped a lot. And then I found my people. And then I changed schools for sixth form and found, again, more people who were more like me, i.e., you know, I basically discovered Marlboro Lights and cider. You know, I think you do have to just hang on in there, don't you? Do you have anything more useful, Helen?
I was just going to say, make up a best friend like they did in the, you know, go have one in Canada or, you know, and just buy yourself one of those best friends. Just fake it till you make it. That's it. Just lie. That's what I would say.
Just make it. You've just made a good point there. And then it's just pen pals were a thing back in the day, weren't they? You always like, you
yes.
Went, there was, there, weren't there websites? Do you remember? No, it wasn't a website. It was on, do you remember on the CFAX? You could get a pen pal on the CFAX.
Mm,
so pen pals, that actually should go on the timeline, actually. I think we're going to chuck pen pals on there as well. But did you ever have a pen pal?
Yeah, I had one who I spoke very bad French to, or, you know, wrote very bad French to, and it just sort of drifted off. I think she was, I was like, j'aime la musique pop, j'habite en Australie. There's not a lot of connection there.
Yes, I had a German pen pal. I think she was called Diana, perhaps after the princess, we'll never know.
The people's.
And yes, and I think the relationship sort of died. I wasn't very good at German, and it sort of died after one day she wrote back to me saying, you know, if you want, you can just write to me in English. It's fine. And I thought, is it fine? It's not fine, Diana. It's not fine, is it? Guten Tag. And I don't even know if that means goodbye or not. I don't know.
And that was the last you ever heard of Diana.
That's right.
We put this out to the Hunsnet followers. And you know what? Some Huns, you know, they get it with the advice and gave some real, real good advice. Some just went out there and just, you know, said it like it was. So somebody said, babes, you don't need a bestie if you've got a group to pre-sexy brunch with. Well, that's a good one. Danny Allen, I think this is the best one, actually. Hang about in a smoking area in a gay bar. Someone will collect you in 3 to 5 business days. Drewfully Jones said, there's lots of snakes out there. You do you and you make yourself your own paperclip necklace.
Mm, so there we are.
You mentioned you've got lots of gay friends. Would you ever be hanging out in a gay bar for 3 to 5 business days waiting to be picked up?
I've definitely done that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Me and my friend Jonathan, we have a tradition where we spend every May Day together. And not so much now because we're older and we've got children, but in the olden times, that would pretty much almost always either end up in fire in Vauxhall.
Oh, that is hardcore.
Or in latter years, GAY bar when we weren't so hardcore. So yes, I was often sitting there like a package on an Argos counter, just waiting to be collected.
If in doubt, get in a gay bar. That's been my life motto anyway. Our final thing on the podcast today is our royal hunness. Now, as queens of podcasting, comedy and writing, I know you're comfortable with royalty. We've been asking our guests to pick their royal hunness, and you can have one each so we can have a co-crowning today. This is somebody who you would like to put on the royal hunness throne, and it's somebody who you think deserves the title of being this week's royal hun. They can be anybody from music, reality TV, celebrity. Could be anybody, anybody you like, actually. It doesn't even need to be a celebrity.
I would say Melissa George, aka Angel from Home and Away. She was my pinup girl. She was feisty. She told Dina Brummer where to go. She had tie-dye. She had all the plaits, and she was... Yeah, she just gave no shits. You know, she did her. She was no Danny. She was no Natalie Imbruglia. I loved Melissa George. I thought she was absolutely fucking marvellous.
She used to have plaits, didn't she? She used to have like the little... I remember that. And
she was sort of boho chic, you know, a bit sort of beachy, you know.
Yeah.
Lace overlays. Do you remember they were a big thing at that time?
Years before Sienna Miller got on the trend.
Oh, yeah. She set the trend. Yeah. So I'd like her to be remembered and honoured, thank you.
I don't know if anyone has said this before, but in terms of famous Huns, has anyone said Attila the...
Of course, Attila the Hun.
Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking she's just taking this too literally. She's misunderstood the brief. Bear with me.
Go on.
Bear with me. Okay.
She's got something.
I think we know now. We thought Attila the Hun had that name because he's a terrible character. But actually, I think he was an actual Hun. I think that's how he got that name, because I did some extensive research on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And it turns out, of course, he was a member of the Huns, which is a pastoral nomadic tribe, which lived off meat and milk. Which is basically, don't we all, don't all Huns? That's Mackie D's, isn't it? That's a cheeseburger and a strawberry milkshake right there. And not that, that's not all. Do you know how he died?
Go on.
Of course you don't. You haven't been on Wikipedia. I do. I have. He died at his own wedding, brilliantly.
Tension-seeking.
From severe bleeding. It said, I'm quoting now, it said he died of a nosebleed and choking to death in a stupor. So how did he get a nosebleed, we ask ourselves? That's not confirmed, though, because obviously it was 400 AD, so it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
The other way they think he might have died, they're not sure, the old historians, and they think it might be internal bleeding caused by years of excessive alcohol consumption. Now, if that's not honey, I don't know what is. He's literally called Attila the Hun, and he died of a nosebleed or binge drinking Lambrini. What more do you want in terms of sitting on the throne?
Well, he's up there, he's on the throne. Absolutely fantastic. They will be inducted, hunducted in the Hall of Fame. So thank you so much for those. Okay, ladies, unfortunately, we are at the end of today's podcast. But before you go, I'd like you to tell us all about what's coming up for the Scummy Mummies in 2022. You've just announced a massive big show, the biggest to date, I hear.
Yes, in Newcastle. We're at the Opera House up there on the 4th of February, which is a Friday night, ladies. We love going north because everyone gets done up. They're in their heels or in your short skirts. When we went to Liverpool, they had a full, Granita slushy, alcoholic slushy machine outside the theatre. That was excellent. But yeah, we're on tour all of the year, basically, aren't we, Ellie?
Yes, that's right. We're going to all sorts of places. And yeah, we are going up north and all that. So we'd love to see you come. And it's just a really fun night out. And you don't, again, like all of our stuff, you don't have to be a mum to enjoy it. We get a lot of mums going, obviously, but we get dads, we get grandparents, and we do get a lot of gay men as well, funny enough, who write to us. And we get a lot of women who don't have kids who write to us and say things like, I love your stuff because it reminds me to keep taking my pill. So everyone is welcome. And it's just a really big, fun night out.
Fabulous. And where can they get tickets?
Scummymummies.com.
Scummymummies.com. And also, where can all of the Huns find you on socials?
At Scummy Mummies. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And have a listen to our filthy podcast. That comes out every fortnight. We've always got fabulous guests. And we've got some merch. You know, give it a look.
And Helen's got... We've got a book, but hardly anyone buys it. But Helen's book, Get Divorced, Be Happy, is a Sunday Times bestseller. So buy that. It's brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us on The Fundamental Guide to Life. Thank you so much for sharing all of your anecdotes and your nostalgia from that back in the day. Scummy Mummies, you've been scummy and mummy and also very fabulous. And we look forward to seeing you again soon on The Fundamental Guide to Life.
Hurrah!
It's been a huge honour. We love you so much. We love your work. Thank you so much. Having us, we're honored. Thank you very much.
Bye, girlies.
Bye.
That's it from The Fundamental Guide to Life this episode. Don't forget, you can get your fix of our Gorgina picks and more tracks to pop your pussy to with some Prosexy. So follow the Hunsnet profile on Spotify, where we'll dump all of the songs. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and follow this podcast. Oh yeah, and rate and review 5 stars. Thank you.
Insanity Group.
If you love Hunsnet and you love brunch and you've not checked out Hunsnet's Hun Brunch, then you're missing out, honey. Join us at least once a month in London and up and down the country for drag dallions, gorgy cocky teas, competitions, prizes, exclusive merch giveaways, and wall-to-wall Huns. So whether it's a birthday celebration, hen party, girly catch-up, or actually, for any reason whatsoever, get on the Nokia 3310 to the girly whirlies and get yourselves to Hun Brunch immediately, if not sooner. Tickets exclusively available on Dice.